is a way that seems right unto a man, that seems logical, that seems appropriate. There's a way that seems right unto a man. But the end of that way, the death. It leads to death. It leads to curses. Things happen in our life that shouldn't happen, but we've opened ourselves to it because we've gone down the wrong path. The Bible says, choose life. Do it God's way. God's way is always the best way. And so it doesn't matter what we think, how we put our minds up, whether we said before Aunt Susan, or our cousin, or the talk show guy on the radio, or the person I work with, or just society in general, doesn't matter what they say. But road they say. In fact, the Bible says there's a broad way to do it. For this year, we're going to talk about it in different ways. In different ways. This week, we're going to talk about prayer, and this message today is called Praying God's Way. Praying God's Way. And so, this week, as we have mentioned, as we announced, this is a week of prayer and fasting. But it's not just a list of prayer. We are calling the church to a week of prayer and fasting. The elders, the leaders of the church, they are calling us all to a week of prayer and fasting. If you're part of the church, consider this being your church home, then you need to hear that call to prayer and fasting. And we're leaving it to you just how you would fast, different ways of fasting, the regular fast, which is you just don't eat any solid food, and juices, and water, and so forth. And that's sort of a regular fast. But you may want to just fast one day, one meal a day, is my plan to just fast one meal a day, or you might say, we're going to fast a certain kind of diet. And in the Bible, there's what's called a Daniel's fast, where Daniel just didn't eat any delicacies, no desserts, he didn't have wine, he just limited himself to those things, he basically just ate vegetables. And he did that for 21 days, and if you read it in Daniel, an angel of the Lord came to him, the powerful fast of Daniel. And I don't know how he will decide, but I encourage you, as an individual, as a family, to say, how are we going to engage in this church-wide call to pray and fast? Now, I hope that we're praying every day, but we have special times, as mentioned, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at noon, church will be open for our directed time of prayer at noon, and then at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, there will be a time of prayer. And as we mentioned, we're going to show the movie The War Room, which is a movie on prayer. It will encourage you to pray. Now, if I don't get too much away, the prayer room is the place where the person prays, and so it'll be, I hope that after Tuesday night, we'll just have a sense, because it will put all the things that the scripture talks about prayer, but it will tell you the story of the drama, that we can be caught up in and listen and watch, and experience. Now, the main actor in this movie is the Christian scholar, which is a powerful preacher of the gospel. And so I just feel such an anointing on this movie, but not only is it written as a Christian book, but the actors, the main actors, are God-anointed ministers who are sharing in this movie. So I really encourage you to pick it off on Tuesday night at 7. Watch this movie together. It's fun. Hopefully you'll go home that night and say, okay, what I'm doing in my church, where is my church? And I'm going to have four places to go. So let's that counts for made up for this week, there's the next Thursday, Thursday, and Friday. Okay, so today's message, and I only got probably a quarter of the way in this message in the first service. I think much further in this service, but that's okay because this is such a good topic. Hunger, praying, praying God's word, fasting, and for God to have us to pray and fast. It's important for us. And, you know, we can spend weeks and weeks and weeks and talk about the series. But, you know, when we're doing God's word, can I just ask you to consider this morning? Are you praying God's word? Are you praying the way God would want you to pray? Are you praying the amount of time God would want you to pray? Or are you doing it your way? And so I begin that reflecting this theme of doing it God's way on this message this morning. I tell you, prayer and fasting is a tremendous, you know, especially fasting, we touch fasting too much. Let me just talk about why we're fasting. The Bible tells us to fast. In Mark chapter 2, they came to Jesus. And they said, how come your disciples don't fast? The disciples of John the Baptist, they fast, but why not your disciples fast? And so Jesus responded and said, when the bridegroom is with them, they don't fast. But when the bridegroom is taken away, then they will fast. And so these disciples of Jesus said, we're not fasting when Jesus was with them. They did have times of fasting, and we believe it in the New Testament after Jesus ascended into heaven. They did fast and pray. So what is fasting all about? Fasting sharpens your spiritual perception. It makes you more aware of spiritual realities. It's a tremendous tool. That's why the disciples didn't need to fast when Jesus was with them, because they could see him every day. They could reach out and touch him. They could hear his literal voice. Their spiritual senses did not have to be sharpened because he was with them in a tangible form. But he said, when I am gone, then you will, because then you need to hear his voice, but there's not a body there speaking the voice. And so what fasting does, it's like it removes all the layers between us and the spirit, and we become more sensitive, attuned to his spirit. Have you ever thought to yourself, well, you know, just talk to a human God, I know what he does. Talk about having a sense of what the Lord wants, or I don't know what the Lord wants. I tell you, then fasting is a tremendous tool. Because fasting breaks through those things that it's like it breaks the calluses off, the hardness off. You become more sensitive. And over the number of years, the Lord has led me to fast at different times for long periods of time. And they've always been a tremendous blessing to me. I'm always amazed how I've seen something demonstrable and observable happen after a time of prolonged fasting. When I think back, I was thinking about this morning before the service. It was about 2002, somewhere in that range, where I felt led by the Lord to do a 40-day fast. And that was a powerful time in my life, that 40 days of fasting. And I saw many breakthroughs and many things happen. I look back now and say, you know, that was a real turning point in the life of the church. A lot of things happened right around those years, and certainly after. It was like after that that we started going on the radio, having the radio program. A lot of these things opened up as a result of, I believe, the prayer and fasting. You see, prayer and fasting increases your spiritual jurisdiction. It increases your spiritual capacity. And it's maintained by humility. And so if you say, well, I want God's will for my life, and I want, you know, I want more of God, I want to enter into more of God, how do you do that? Well, prayer and fasting is the way to do it. Because it's a means where you separate yourself, and it's amazing as you voluntarily decline to satisfy. trying to fast. I don't want to fast. I don't like fasting. Now, do some of these other things. You're not going to die if you fast. You're just going to die. The first day, it's tough because your body is used to just getting everything you want. So it adjusts. Interestingly enough, after about 3 days, the real strong desire for food leaks. And you're not having hunger pains, but the body adjusts. But it still feels very desirable, obviously. But if you don't have a sense, you go through this process. And I just encourage you, like I wouldn't encourage you to go on a prolonged fast unless you get some experience and start and do a day or 3 days to sort of work your way up to a prolonged fast. But I would really encourage you to not miss the benefits of prayer fasting. Fasting, can I say it this way? Fasting is God's way. Now, why don't you fast? Well, because it won't be fine. So, this theme has all kinds of applications to it, but you know what? It will still bring the blessings, it will still bring the light. It'll still bring the benefits. It's still the best way to live than doing it your way. Because, I don't want to do that. But it goes away. Usually because you're not drinking too much coffee. You get your headache. But I'm just encouraging you. Do God's way. Pray God's way. How would God want you to pray? What would he want you to do? Well, it'd be nice if Jesus was here. We could just sort of turn it over to him and say, God, come and give us a little exhortation on prayer fasting. What would he say? Well, interestingly enough, we have it in the scripture. We did have a group of people that were together and he taught on prayer fasting. It's in Matthew chapter 6. So let me just read it to you. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men your trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint the head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So this is a place where Jesus talks a little bit about prayer and fasting. And let me just summarize some of the things, and they're very obvious, there's nothing new here, but he says, don't pray or fast with the motive of being seen by others. Don't pray and fast with the motive to be seen by others. But pray in secret, and your Father who appears in secret will reward you for it. You know, there's so many presented in a white framework. Now, friends, I've looked at them to expect it. Such kind of people that are in the hospital that receive prayer and better than people who do not. Now, of course, from a secular point of view, they sort of say, well, it's because they sort of can't have a little bit of thought themselves. They have a feeling of comfort, and so they're not under as much stress as they are in the process of consuming it. Now, they will pray because, you know, they're praying about something, someone else sees the need, and so they can react and meet the need. You know, there's so many reasons why the world would say, because it's really not a God. And it's really not a God who answers prayer. So prayer is just a good exercise for us to do that. So you'll see much of the world will have some kind of philosophy. Or in this case, in Jesus' time, people wanted to be seen and be thought to be holy and, you know, special. Look at all my life where they look at my life faster. They still made a big show. But you know, don't make a secret. There is a God who hears you. You can be in a secret place and talk to God. And the God who hears you in secret will manifest it openly in answer to the prayer. That's why we pray. Not because it may have all these side benefits, but we have prayer because there's a God who answers our prayer. Hears and he answers. He goes on to say, I'm just summarizing these things. Your prayer is not empowered by the number of words that you pray. You know, some religions, they give you a mantra, they give you some kind of chant, and you go through the chant, and you can just go over and over again, you just chant these words, and you know, some of you do, some of you do, and some of you do, and Jesus says, that's not what prayer is. You're not heard because you're saying so many words. It's not the amount of words that you're saying, it's not the length of time that you're spending. You want your prayer to avail much? Then be fervent, be sincere, be earnest. Pray from your heart, pray from reality, pray out of the need. You know, I would pray out of that, you know, fervent prayer needs to be burning, the feeling, the burning. That's the kind of prayer that God says to hear. It can be a short prayer, it could be a sentence prayer, but when the unction comes from a heart, yearning after God, that's longing after God, that's crying out to God. That's the prayer that God hears. And then, of course, he moves in, the middle of his discourse there. There's a model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but it really isn't the Lord's Prayer. The Lord didn't pray this prayer. In another place, when they asked him, and he said, teach us how to pray, in another gospel, he then gives them the Lord's Prayer. In other words, this is the prayer I give you so that you can be effective in your prayer. And it's not just a prayer that we should recite, to just go over and over and recite it. That's not the reason for it. Although there's nothing wrong with reciting it. But it's a teaching prayer that every segment of the prayer, and there's about seven segments of the prayer, that teaches us how to pray. You know, we start off with saying, my Father, it's our relationship with God that we start with every time we pray. And then you need to tell in your name. Then you move into a time of praise and worship. And then you go on, and I won't get into this, although I have the notes and the message to get into this. But we'll do it another Sunday, or we'll do it during the week sometime as we're in our prayer time. But it's a teaching prayer. And it's to encourage us to pray in an effective manner, to pray after this manner. Sometimes we just sit down and we just say the first thing off the top of our heads, and then we have to work through the next to sort of, and when we're done, and well, we're done. You know, but we need to have a systematic prayer, a structured prayer that we can use and pray the Lord's effective. Now, even now on Wednesday night, we will pray the Lord's Prayer. And come Wednesday night, we will actually go through the Lord's Prayer together. And we'll just spend the hour praying the Lord's Prayer that we'll That's one aspect. And he gives it to us. And then he goes on, and he keeps telling us other things that we are that we're to do. Luke 18, Jesus again is talking to him. Now listen to what it says here in Luke 18, in verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose hope. Now he tells us why he gave the parable. He gave the parable so that men would always pray. Maybe he would pray that. That we would always pray and we wouldn't lose hope. In other words, we wouldn't get discouraged. And that just stops us. That tells us something. It's possible that we don't pray. That you've given up, you've become discouraged. You prayed for a while, but it didn't happen. You didn't get an answer. So Jesus gave this parable so that we'd keep on praying and we wouldn't give up and get discouraged. Well, what was this parable? And he gives it here in Luke 18, we just read on. Now there was a widow. Alright, verse 2. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Then the Lord said, this is Jesus, and Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with him? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And mixes in with you were praying by faith. And by faith, not because we're seeing an answer come, but praying by faith. And here's this story. This unjust judge, he's not a religious guy, but this woman is coming to him. Well, he keeps ignoring her. He keeps pushing, 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 pushing. Finally, he says, you know what? I don't really care about this thing, but this woman is bugging me. And so he said, all right, he gives her what she needs. But Jesus said, if that happens in the natural, in this extreme case of a judge who hasn't any compassion, how much more will your heavenly Father hear you if you pray? We're not coming to an indifferent God. We're coming to a God who is concerned, who has a love for us, who has a plan and purpose on this earth for us. How much more when we come to Him and make our prayer, will we hear? I think Jesus added something that we all need to hear and understand. He said, don't He bears with you. In other words, they don't refuse. But we just need to understand that. When we pray, it doesn't mean we're going to get the answer the next day. If we need to, if we pray and got the answer the next day, we ought to pray more. But the Bible tells us it's not that way because God's ways are not our ways. You know, we're praying for something to happen. We're wanting something. And it doesn't happen. And we always feel like, come on, God. And people, say it. I don't know. I pray. I keep praying. God doesn't seem to answer. So, what's with him? That's his problem. I'm doing my part. Why don't they answer? We didn't anything. God's way should be our way. If I was God, I'd answer it. I'd take care of it. What's he holding up for? Listen, we just have to realize God knows more than we know. And it's built in even in the teaching of Jesus. He says, you ought to always pray and not give up. Because you're going to have cause to give up. You're going to feel like, nothing's happening. I'm not giving up. I'm wasting my time. Now, we know that I would just say that if we're a true Christian, but we just stop praying as if we're wasting our time. We just get discouraged. We lose heart. We give up. And Jesus says, well, I'm giving you this parable to show you that if an unjust judge
doesn't like being in the prison, but he always does what God does. He always does what God does. He's a servant. And so he starts serving the people. Then he rises up in the jail. There's a system of responsibility to move among the prisoners, but he always has a servant's heart. So, something happens in Pharaoh's household. They don't know what it is, and the baker and the butler are both thrown into the prison. And so, Joseph has interaction. They have a dream. They shouldn't have a dream. They come to Joseph, and Joseph says, I'll tell you the interpretation of your dream. Preparation of the baker's dream was not good. He thought he was not going to make this. The interpretation of the butler's dream was that he'd be restored to his office. Well, just in a short period of time, they sorted out in the Pharaoh's household. Word comes down, the baker's executed, but the butler is restored to his place in Pharaoh's house. And Joseph says to the butler, I have been restored to my house. And the word is for him. He doesn't want to be in the jail. Now, it doesn't tell us, specifically that he prayed, but I'm sure he did. I'm sure he was praying, Lord, I don't want to be in this prison. Lord, I had dreams that you were going to use me, and, well, but I'm here, and I've been lied about it, and I shouldn't be here. Now, he could have been all bitter, but he didn't. He did it God's way. That's another whole thing. How do you handle hurt? Then down the road, we'll talk about that in a message, how you handle God's way. When hurts come your way, but Joseph had handled it right all the way along. So, he can imagine the next day, he's thinking to himself, right, the Lord brought this down here. He's right next to the Pharaoh. He has the ear of the Pharaoh. He likes me. He's going to remember the Pharaoh's going to cut me out. And what happens the next day? Nothing happens the next day. Because the butler forgot Joseph. 2 years go by. 2 years. He's up for 2 years. 2 years. And you think about the amount of time Joseph still in the prison, still happy there, day after day, no doubt praying, saying, God, bring me into my destiny, what you have for me. And finally, the Pharaoh has a dream, and the butler remembers. No one can interpret the Pharaoh's dream. In fact, the Pharaoh can't even remember the dream. He said, well, someone tells me, I'll remember. And the butler says, hey, he's just dying, remember. And so they bring Joseph in. And he interprets the dream. And it was a dream that was going to be 7 years of plenty, and then 7 years of famine, and that they should store up during the 7 years of plenty, for the years of famine, and obviously you can appoint someone that's wise over this, to tell the Pharaoh the dream, so that this could be done. And the Pharaoh goes, wow, that's exactly what I mean. That's right. And he says, well, who could be wiser than you? You interpreted the dream. So he puts Joseph in charge of this whole thing, gives him his ring. Joseph is the second in command in Pharaoh in Egypt, because of the timing 2 years later. Now, what would have happened if, and again, I'm surmising here, that it had gone Joseph's way, that the butler remembered the next day? He threw it back, he said, did you do me a favor, Pharaoh? You know, and so there's this guy down there, he really helped me out. Well, really, and what if the Pharaoh had said, yeah, remember? Joseph would have been freed. He's out on the streets. Now what is he? In his foot. And what's he going to get a job? How's he going to support himself? Where's he going to live? He's going to another place? I mean, what would happen to this? You see, God has his ways. When we pray and we don't get the answer, we just got to bear with it like Jesus said. We just, God's doing something, he's working something, you don't understand it, but he's got a plan, and you just rest in that. You see, it was better for Joseph to be in the prison for 2 years so that when he comes out, is in the position God wants you to be. So what do you say? I'm sure there's progress. And maybe if you met the person God is for you, you wouldn't be the person you need to be. And maybe that person is. Maybe God's working some things still. I don't know, but God's way is not ours. We have to trust God. We have to see God. You know better than I know about these things. But you need to do God. So Jesus gave the parable so they wouldn't lose heart. Let me just add a couple of things before we close because this message is started. I haven't started the message yet, because Adam has all those notes that she put on. But let me just say this to you. Just in general, why pray? You know, like, why don't we pray? And I think there's some underlying thoughts that we maybe are unconscious of, but keep us from praying. One is it God know about this? Am I informing God? Right? To pray to inform him? Well, of course the Lord knows, and he knows all these thoughts. But Jesus says he knows what we need before we pray. So we sort of feel like, right? He already knows about this. Or then we might think, well, is God reluctant? He doesn't want to do this. But I have to persuade him. Someone will struggle with the unjust thing, not being the judge. So if I pray long enough and hard enough, I'll finally just bug God enough that he'll answer. But we realize that's not the God that's here in the scripture. That's not what Jesus said about your heavenly Father who wants to answer you. So it's not persuading God to do something that he doesn't want to do. But then sometimes we think, well, is it? You have to earn it. You know, I fast long enough, I earned it. You know, fasting isn't any merit that we are. Because I fasted, I merit this. We don't merit anything. Fasting just gets me attuned with God. I become more sensitive to God's spirit. And also, and this is another side of it, it releases the power through fasting. Remember, let's jump back to this. Remember when the disciples kind of cast this demon out of the world? And Jesus came and cast the demon out and he asked Jesus, how can we do it? Jesus said, well, this power only comes out by prayer and fasting. So there's something in the connection with God that Jesus had that the disciples didn't have. And it came through a time of fasting. And in situations in your life, a breakthrough you need to see. But fasting will help you. But don't ever think you're earning it. What you're doing is just positioning yourself so that God's power can flow more through you. So we're not earning the right for God to hear our prayers because we're fasting or so forth. No, it's just part of God's tools that he's given us that we need to utilize. So this whole matter. So when, why are we praying? Why are we praying? Now here's the key thing to oppose with this today. God is purposed to accomplish his will on earth today in conjunction with we are his. So he's going to use our voice, our hands. We're the body of Christ, so we carry his presence. He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, preaching the gospel. He can have an angel fly and just speak it over a city. How to be saved? But he hasn't chosen to do it that way. He's chosen to use us. He works on this earth in conjunction with us. He's decided to work in conjunction with us. So he won the victory on Calvary, but we implement it through prayer. We speak the victory of Christ, and as we speak it, it implements it. He purchased salvation, but when we tell people about salvation, faith springs in their heart and they receive it. have a part to play. And that's the best I can explain to you why God asks us to pray. God has chosen not to do anything on this earth except to be answered by him. We have not because we have asked him. God has chosen, and I don't know, it's his plan, it's his purpose, but it involves us. I'm so glad. I don't want to be a spectator, sitting back and, you know, not involved in just watching God do it. I think that's a great different question. I want to use you. I want to use your voice. I want to use your praise. When you pray, you release the power of God. And so that's why we pray. We're called upon to pray. Prayer is so effective. As we pray his promises, pray what God wants to do. That's the most effective thing to do, is pray his promises. Now, I'm going to end there because that's the first slide of the message. Praying God's way. Praying God's way is that he's chosen to do it. So we'll talk more about this in weeks to come and see what God then wants to tell us more and more about this whole matter of prayer. Let me stand with you right now. Maybe at the close of this service, what we need to do, maybe this is all God wanted for this service, as we prepare for a week of prayer and fasting, is for you to decide to do it God's way. How would you engage in this week of prayer and fasting? Is God's way? Let me see. God's way or the way you think? Well, and you can come up with 1,001 reasons why you shouldn't fast, or you can't do it for the three times. Or you can decide, you know, the commitment I made last week, I want to do God's way every day, and every day. Applies to us. Praying God's way. And then, yes, as we do it, then the blessings come on us. Then the life giving experiences we have, when we start doing it God's way. And so I just to challenge you at the close of this service that you just think, okay, how am I going to fast this? What am I going to do? What expression will it have in my life? And that's between you and I. And God will no doubt lead us all differently. But you can decide, how am I going to engage in this week of prayer and fasting? And then, what prayer time? How are you going to add that time that you would have been eating? Use that time to pray. Maybe someone will decide, you know, I haven't really set aside a daily time of prayer anymore. I'm not sure. And I think after Tuesday night, you're really going to be empowered when you watch this movie to see that power of prayer and having a place. I just encourage you to just at the close of this service, just ask the Lord, what I want to give you this week. And I don't want to go by what you want to ask me. I just want to do what you're saying to me. If we all hear God's voice and we all hear God's way, then we're going to move into the things that God is really talking about. With you, I just raise a hand if you want to be included in these prayers I pray this morning. Lord, we raise our hands again to say, Lord, we want to do it your way. We want to pray your way. We want to be involved in your kingdom. Lord, we want to step up and do our part in bringing the kingdom of God to my family, to my situation, to this city, to my workplace, to my school. Lord, I ask that you would just help us all right now in this moment of decision that this week we're going to engage in prayer.